Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, and welcome to the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Carla Long, and today I'm speaking with Brad Johnson, who is part of the pastor team of five people in the Olathe Congregation of Community of Christ. Just recently, or Brad, maybe you can tell me when you did that, the Olathe Congregation went on a journey of having a congregational evangelist blessing. And since the Salt Lake Congregation is thinking of doing the same thing, I figured, hey, maybe there are other congregations out there thinking about this and wondering what it's like. So I'm inviting you all listeners to eavesdrop in on our conversation. So hello, Brad, welcome to the podcast.
Well, appreciate that. Welcome, Carla. And I'm excited to share with you. I'm a longtime listener and a first time participant. So this is exciting for me. The day of our blessing was November 18th of 2018. So that in a way it seems like it was a long time ago, and another way it just seems like yesterday. So it's one of those experiences that stays close to you and you build on it.
Oh, I'm excited to hear about it. But before we jump into that, Brad, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Okay. I was born in Southern California, grew up in a church family. My mom's family goes back a few generations in the Restoration Movement. My dad's family was churched in, I think, 6, 7, 8 different denominations as he was growing up. Every time he got a new housekeeper, they got a new denomination. And he eventually joined in our denomination, I think, while I was in grad school. But grew up in Downey, California, which is about halfway between Dodger Stadium and Disneyland, a couple important places in my life, and spent a lot of time at Camp Buckhorn. I don't know if you've ever been up to Camp Buckhorn, Carla, but any of the listeners would know it's one of the most beautiful places in the world, and it's a very formative place in my life as far as religious experiences and making connections with friends, and some of my long-term friends are from those experiences still. So kind of like anybody else in my generation, I went to high school in the 60s. It wasn't a question of if I was going to go to college. It was not even a question of where. I went to Graceland College. I was fortunate enough to meet my wife June there. June Fisher. We got married while we were undergraduates, and kind of did the typical Graceland thing as married couples, and then lived in Kansas City, Missouri for a couple of years while she finished her degree. She was a nursing major, and I went over for grad school at UMKC, and then we moved to California and lived there for a number of years, I think 13, 14, something like that. And then got transferred to Texas. We were in Texas for a few years. And then we've been up in Kansas City now for 23 years attending the Olathe congregation. The other congregations, just to give them some kind of recognition that we attended, was the Carrier Parkway congregation in Texas, the Orange congregation in Southern California, and then the Lenox congregation in Southern California. And Lenox has been closed, 25 years probably. It's been closed for quite a while now. So that in a thumbnail sketch is kind of my background and, you know, experience with the church.
Boy, you really get around. That's pretty awesome. So let's just jump into it. My first question is pretty basic. What is a congregational evangelist blessing?
Okay. Yeah, that, and I'll tell you that on the church's website, you'll actually find the right answer, but I'll give you my answer for purposes of the podcast. It is an opportunity for us to have some evangelists, and I imagine that some evangelist blessings might have just one evangelist doing it, but ours, we had five evangelists, but have them kind of dig into who we are as a congregation and as a people, and offer a very specific blessing and direction for us as a congregation, and kind of help us get in touch with what our mission and what our what our call is as a group and a community.
That sounds pretty cool. That sounds really awesome.
It was a neat experience.
So I know that you went through a pretty good preparation for it. Can you talk to us a little bit about what your congregation did in order to prepare for the blessing and who actually did the blessing for you?
Okay. Yeah, our preparation, you know, in a way, our preparation kind of probably started 10, 15 years ago with one of our previous pastors, Bruce Ryder, started talking and thinking about it. And maybe the time wasn't right then. And then probably late 2016, a member of our pastorate at that time, Mary Gill, started talking about it. She'd had conversations with Jane Gardner and kind of said, hey, this might be a good direction for us to go on. And we started doing some activities that in our congregation that we didn't probably specifically say, hey, this is to prepare us for congregational blessing, but in a way they did. One of the things, and I think was pretty formative for us as a community, was every Sunday we had two or three different testimonies from members about the topic was why I love being part of Community of Christ. And it was a chance for us to get to know people who often didn't speak at church. And, you know, there's a few people that, you know, were going to be up front and giving sermons and doing other things often. And there's a lot of people who come to our congregation. Our congregation probably has an average attendance of, I don't know, 120, something like that. We probably have 200 active members. So there were a lot of people who aren't up front talking a lot, but here was an opportunity to hear, you know, different people's experience, everywhere from probably as young as 8 years old, 7, 8, 9, something like that, up through some of our older members, gave their testimonies about participating in the Community of Christ. And it was pretty powerful part of our experience. We had a kind of a community building experience in that every Sunday we had one particular hymn that we picked out and we played that in some manner, sang it or had it as background music, prelude or something, every Sunday for the year. And, you know, just kind of these kind of some community building things that we went through. And as that was going on, there was four pastors at the time. We started talking about the need or probably what we could achieve with a congregational blessing and how the congregation would accept it and would they want to move forward with it. And so we started exploring it. And we took a lot of very planned, measured steps walking towards a congregational blessing, really to make sure that we'd have full support of the congregation, because it's a pretty important piece of the equation as far as the support of the congregation. Because if congregation just shows up one Sunday, evangelist offers a blessing, it probably is not much of an experience. It's really about the journey to the blessing as much as it is the blessing. We did things like in the fall of, let me get my years right, 2017, we had our congregational retreat where we focused it on the theme of blessed to be a blessing. Chris Judd, who was kind of our lead evangelist eventually, she was our guest minister for that, and had a chance to start talking with the members of the congregation of what a congregational blessing is and what it would mean for us. We went on and presented, and Chris presented with us to the a priesthood meeting about, hey, here's what a congregational blessing is. We're thinking about doing this. We're thinking about moving forward, at least exploratorily, and got their opinion, and we got a very positive feedback. We then had a meeting for all interested persons in the congregation and got a lot of support out of that. And somewhere along that line, we recruited our full team of evangelists. So we ended up with 5. In addition to Chris, we had Tom Arnold and Bob Gardner, who both have family members that attend our congregation. And so they were kind of, you know, second congregation for them was Olathe. And so they were very comfortable with us. And then Michael Shedd, who was at one time was our chief financial officer for our mission center and knew us and actually had one of her cousins had attended for years. So Michael was our fourth event. I don't know, one of our evangelists. And then Greg Clark, who I don't know if any of us in the pastorate knew Greg, but what a fabulous guy. I assume you probably know Greg.
Oh, he's an awesome guy. He's a good friend.
Yeah. He really is. So he was our only evangelist that I didn't know in advance. And they participated with us throughout, most of 2018 by taking a monthly service and one of them presiding over it and having all of them spoke once or twice. And we probably had an evangelist at just about every Sunday service, just in the congregation, talking to people afterwards, figuring out who we were, us getting a chance to figure out who they were. Then when we had our branch retreat in 2018, we had all of them at that. That's kind of jumping ahead of our process, but we had the evangelists came to our monthly pastor meetings, either in person or on FaceTime. And then I guess on Mother's Day, and it just happened to be Mother's Day, but Mother's Day 2018, we had a 3.5 hour morning service that was all about preparing for the blessing and introducing that congregational blessing to the whole congregation, doing some activities, learning our spiritual type and some different things like that. And it was a really super day. During the preparation for the blessing, Shane Adams and Allie Arnold got real involved in the blessing, and they took over that service for us, and they were real integral in our preparation for the blessing. Kind of our main focus on the blessing preparation was our 40 days. The last 40 days before the 18th, we really ramped it up. We had a branch retreat, and it was a event that we held at our congregation rather than going to one of the campgrounds. And we did that in order to get more people to attend. And we had, I thought, very good attendance. And the we introduced, I guess I might call it, the tools of the blessing. We had a blessing companion, which Allie Arnold prepared. That was a focused journal, I guess you'd say, which had every week there was a story about some kind of inspirational story based on Allie had picked out words of the week for us. And then the inspirational story. And then every day we had activities, journaling activities, scriptures and other things to read and focus on those tools. And so this journal became an integral part for a lot of the congregation in preparing for the blessing. And then we also had a 40-day activities piece that was put together by three of our members, Ashley Arnold and Brooke Traxel, and Laura Beckman put together an activity. It was on a clipboard, but it was for families with younger kids. And it was focusing each of the 40 days leading up to the blessing, getting them prepared for the blessing. And then, as we mentioned before we started recording, Shane and I hosted a podcast where we did about two podcasts each week on the blessing. One of them would be with one of the members of our congregation about the actual theme of the week. We had, like I said, different words that were chosen, like adventure. We talked about adventure and how this is an adventure. And we talked to one of our congregational members about the aspect of adventure in their life and how that was leading them towards the blessing. And then we had other interviews with pastors, former pastors of the congregation. We had one with Janae Grover. And of course we had each of our evangelists on to offer their stories. And so that was a lot of fun. At least it was fun for Shane and I, and hopefully for anyone who listened to it. So that kind of in a nutshell, I know I just kind of went through that fast, but that was kind of what our preparation for the blessing is. I don't know if I missed anything that I should have told you, are you curious about, but I'll give you a chance to say something.
Well, gosh, Brad, I am really, really blown away. So, I mean, I tried to make notes while you were talking. So you guys, this is some serious preparation. You journaled every day. You did inspirational stories at worship services. You went on a retreat before where the focus was on the evangelist blessing. You did 40 days worth of activities. I'm not sure if I understand exactly what that is. You did a podcast. You met with four different evangelists at four different times. Wow. And you talked a lot about the adventure of going on this adventure. I'm sure I missed something too, but that is really, really impressive. Like, that is organization to the T. I'm pretty blown away, I have to tell you.
Yeah, it really was. It was very intentional, and organization is not my strength. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what my strength is, but it wasn't organization. It really was part of the other people in the group, but we are very organized. I should have prepared this in advance. Let me grab my journal. Let me see what I did with my journal. Here it is. We had five different or six different words. I should share those with you. Flipping through them. Okay. Adventure, trust, gratitude, grace, community, and blessing. And each week the focus would be on that word. And there'd be the story, and it might be a story out of Chicken Soup for the Soul or just some other source that related to adventure. And then each day there would be an individual activity, a journal reaction. There would be a scripture reflection, a inspirational quote of the day, prayer thoughts, a place to journal. Some days there were kind of things to fill out and artwork to do and all that kind of stuff. And June and I were real, real fortunate when we started our day one of our 40-day walk. June and I were taking off for a cruise to Cuba. So it was the theme that week was adventure, and we were on a cool adventure, and it was just a really neat piece. A lot of our stuff on the blessing is on our website too. If you go to the Olathe Community of Christ website,
that's helpful. That's what I was just going to ask. Like, if we could look at some of this amazing stuff that you've already done, why reinvent the wheel when you've done so much work on this already? Fantastic. So what is the website address?
That's a good question. I appreciate you asking that. obviously I'm stalling so I can click on it to see what it is. Oh, pretty obvious. OlatheSeaOfChrist.org.
Got it. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't mean to stump you during the podcast.
Oh, no, that's okay. Under the About, there's one of the drop downs under About is Congregational Blessing. And you click on that. We actually have the blessing. You can download that in a PDF. Have a picture of the front cover of the Blessing Companion. We don't actually publish that because it is very specific to us as a congregation and our blessing, but then there's a link to all the podcasts there. So I'm sure your loyal podcast listeners are going to want to go on and not listen to those. But anyways.
I'm really, really impressed by the amount of preparation that your congregation did in order to have this congregational blessing. So you had the actual blessing in November 2018, you said, you may have said this and I missed it, but the whole service was a worship service, like on a Sunday morning, like a normal Sunday morning.
It was a Sunday morning. Our services started 10:25, which is just the obvious time to start a worship service. So that's what we do, is at 10:25. But we started that day with an early morning prayer service. The day for June and I started really early because we both just woke up excited like it was Christmas morning, and we were kids expecting Santa Claus. We got up early, started drinking our coffee early. We pulled out our journals and kind of shared different parts back and forth. I remember we had our journals, and June said, "Hey, what did you fill in for this?" There was one time when we were supposed to, I can't remember the exact instructions, but put in words to a poem or a song or a hymn or something that inspired us. And June said, what did you put in for that? And we each shared what we put in. We're both music people and real interested in lyrics. And so we shared that. And then we started sharing other parts of the journal. And just, we had probably 2 hours before it was time to go to the early morning prayer service where we talked and shared about it. And the prayer service was a time where each member of the congregation who attended and wanted to could kind of share what the preparation had been like for them to offer prayers for the day for the congregation. And it was a deep experience, you know, probably as deep of an experience for me as the actual service where the blessing was offered. And then I think, if I remember right, I think we, between the prayer service and our main service, we had an opportunity with food and stuff like that. I might be wrong about that. So I don't know.
Food is always important no matter what. I mean, yeah, even if it didn't happen, no, it's good to remember it happened.
Yeah. Well, we had a big meal afterwards. We had a big meal afterwards, which we had catered in, which we had a couple of folks from one of the other congregations came in to help us with all that so that no one from our congregation would need to miss like a typical getting food ready for after church. So the 10:25 service was completely planned by the evangelists. It was almost all evangelists who participated in it. There was a couple of our other congregation members. I think our cherub choir sang, but each of the evangelists participated in different ways. They all offered a testimony of what they called the testimony of the journey, what it was like for them, preparing the prayer and meeting us and getting ready with us. They had actually spent the Saturday before the blessing, I guess that would have been the 17th, in worship and prayer at, I think at the temple, and they kind of shared with each other what that they had prepared for the blessing, what their thoughts were, and they put that together. And then, Chris Judd, I believe it was Chris who took it home that evening and cobbled it together into one coherent document. And then, shared that with us. So different sections were shared by, different evangelists. And, it was a very powerful experience for us. Just the depth of it all. And if you get a chance to look at our blessing, now we looked at other congregations' blessings, always with the fact in mind that those are really designed for that congregation, but it did give us a little bit of idea of what was there and what was ahead of us. And so we're looking at ours, and if anyone looks, you know, it kind of is ours, not that we don't want to share it with you, but you know, we are sharing it with you, but don't take that as your direction, I guess. I don't know. But anyways, the Sunday service was really just a blessing on top of a blessing for us.
It sounds like it was an incredible experience. This is going to sound a little bit shallow compared to what you were talking about, but I have this saying, I'm the worship planner type person in our congregation, and worship services that are meaningfully planned are meaningful. And not only did you meaningfully plan that worship service, but everything that went into it just encouraged people to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And the amount of preparation that happened beforehand is, I think, incredibly important for feeling that depth and understanding that depth. So I mean, I'm just really impressed by your congregation and the work that went into it.
Yeah, it's very much the case that you get out of something what you put into it, I'm sure that there were members who didn't do much in advance and probably showed up that 18th and go, well, that didn't do much for me, but the ones who really invested themselves in it, I think, found it to be a very meaningful experience. Now, I should say we publish all of our services as podcasts, so you can go into the past worship section of our website and scroll back and find that podcast of that whole service if anyone's ever interested in it. But it's online too, so if anyone wants to listen to it.
Oh, cool. That's really interesting. And so, of course, olathesseaofchrist.org. That's where you can find that.
Right.
This is June 2019. So we're about 8 months or so after your congregational blessing. Has there been anything different in your congregation after the blessing and the preparation you went through for that?
Yeah, you know, and I don't know that I can say there's anything that's overwhelmingly largely different, but there's a lot of little things that are very encouraging and feel like pointing us in I don't even know if I want to say a new direction, but a renewed direction. The blessing is becoming incorporated as part of our congregation in a few different ways. One is almost every Sunday, somebody who is participating in the service, references a portion of the blessing that is meaningful to them. So we have an opportunity, whether it might be from the presider or the person delivering the morning message or the offertory or whatever, hear what they think about the blessing and kind of what they're pulling out of it. So that makes it a little bit different. And then we're also seeing some new and renewed activities in the congregation by different members. You know, like we've got one of our members who's a life coach, and she put on, I can't remember how many nights, but I'd say 3 or 4 evening sessions for us on kind of some of the strengths and some of the tools that she has as a life coach and shared with all of us. And we've got coming up, I think maybe in early fall, I think it is, one of our members who's a yoga instructor or just knows a lot about yoga is going to be doing some yoga classes. And we've had other Sunday school offerings put out by members kind of as a response to this. One of the couples in our congregation is now leading we've reinstituted prayer services at the congregation. We're doing them monthly on a Sunday, early Sunday morning. And so one of the couples is having a special activity for the kids who come that morning during the prayer service time. So kind of those two things are new. I'm trying to think of anything else new. There's probably other things that I'm not thinking about. But the one thing that we saw in our blessing that we've instituted is there's 4 kind of major sections of it where we are called, and the phrase that is used is to be builders. And one of them is to be builders of fellowship. We're called to be builders of healing and reconciliation. We're called to be builders of community and builders of spirit, or builders of the spirit, I guess it is. And so we said, hey, there's 4 of those. Let's divide those up into quarterly focuses. And so first, and we took them in the order that they're in the blessing. The first quarter, we focused on being builders of fellowship in different ways, not only fellowship activities, but had that as part of many of the Sunday services, what we can do to improve on that as a congregation. And then second quarter, which we are just getting close to the end of that right now, is healing and reconciliation is our focus, and doing a lot of things. And one of the final things we're doing, which I'm pretty excited about, is a service the last Sunday of the quarter on healing and reconciliation, and having the opportunity to do some of the planning on that. It's going to be a very, I think, meaningful piece. And with those 4 things, we're also having weekly emails being sent out under the signature of the pastor. But I think everyone who receives them and reads them knows that Allie Arnold, with her very gifted depth of spirituality, has prepared those for us to send out. But they're about healing and reconciliation and leading us in some pretty good directions. So those are maybe what I see as kind of the key things that have come out after it. It's something that we're still processing. We're still part of. We've had some of the evangelists back to speak. I think by the end of the year, we'll have all of them back at least once to the congregation to worship with us, which it's pretty neat to be able to see them again, because they really did become a strong part of our congregation for the year of preparation.
Of course they did. And it sounds like they became part of who you are. And I just love that. Well, gosh, Brad, this has been really informative and really helpful. And I hope that it's encouraging to other congregations to do this. It sounds like it's been such an important experience for your congregation. The very fact that people reference that blessing back most Sundays is enough for me to say, yeah, that was definitely worth it.
Yeah, you know, we were in contact with a number of other congregations, kind of using their roadmap. And one of the congregations, the Woods Chapel congregation, I think it was 10 years ago that they had their blessing. And we've been told, I think it was Janae that told us, that it's still on many Sunday services that people will have a reference out of their blessing from 10 years ago. So we're hoping that this blessing has that kind of life for us and kind of depth. And when I look at it, I seems like it looks new every time. To me, it's kind of like our own individualized portion of the Doctrine and Covenants.
Yeah, I just love that. God speaking directly to you guys. I love that.
Yeah. It feels that very, not just us, but to me, you know, which is kind of cool. So.
Yeah, well, Brad, I hate to tell you, but I feel like God probably has a lot to say directly to you.
Yeah, because I'm not listening enough. That's probably why. But yeah.
Maybe that pound on the head, you know, that is God's just trying to get your attention. Well, Brad, I am really grateful for you explaining all this stuff. Is there something else that you wanted to say about the congregational blessing that you didn't get to say already?
I probably won't think of that until after we have disconnected on this. So I'm going to say, as of this time, I probably said everything that, at least that I can think of. I feel a lot of pressure on this. I was one of the recent podcasts with a young man. I think he lives in Italy. He said that he listens to every one of the Project Zion podcasts. And I'm just hoping that listening to this one doesn't break his spirit of listening to all of them and doesn't give up on the podcast because you let me on there. So that's kind of my hope for today.
Well, I hope that for you as well. And thank you so much for sharing about that. And thank you so much for giving us some great tools, olathesofchrist.org, to go check it out and see what a little bit more about what you guys did and what your blessing said. So thank you so much, Brad.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.